Anybody else? Any board comments on?
It's a closed public hearing.
Okay. The public portion of this item is closed. Now. Any comments? Any board members?
I would suggest that you might want to have Mr. Gehring to respond to some of the comments that were pertinent to the environmental determination, or to the environmental conditions that were
brought. Are you going to attempt to answer all these questions that were posed?
No, only the ones that pertain to what a negative debt, what an environmental issue has to do with, as it pertains to the environmental issues that are before the board.
Okay. Mr. Gehring?
Mr. President, members of the board, good evening again. Jim Gehring, district engineer. That's a rather short time frame to examine the issues that were raised and come up with definitive answers, but let me do my best. With regard to the comments of Mr. Snyder, I simply did not understand his logic on the 600-acre-foot shortfall, and I believe he's in error. Both the town division and the Black Lake division are over the ground, the Napomo groundwater basin, and therefore share the basin. So whichever division of this district is taking water through a well extraction process, it's from the same basin. So I don't understand the comment as to trying to divide the two entities from each other. The South County Area Plan Update Environmental Impact Report, in my opinion, is the most recent environmental document that examined the whole Napomo groundwater basin and its effect on surrounding basins in a complete and entire manner. You know, the county spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on that document, so I believe there is reason to rely on it. Mr. Chisholm's comments, I think, were appropriate, and to my knowledge, there is no new development intended to be supported by this well. All development that's supported by this well is detailed and set forth in the South County Area Plan, and the environmental impact report from every aspect, including the groundwater basin, was examined in that plan. One of the commenters, sorry I didn't get the individual's name, a man with a red shirt that Mr. Blair commented about the well, questioned the certainty with regard to whether mitigation measures were being implemented. I think we gained some confidence in the certainty of whether they're being implemented on when we heard Mrs. Ostrow's comments about how the Black Lake development is being treated. That particular development is being made to be completely neutral in its effect on the groundwater basin. I believe that's typical of developments on the mesa that are being processed by the county. There was a comment from the same individual as to whether we should look at other options on how to handle this water shortfall issue. Well, that's why we hired Boyle Engineering Corporation. They did a very detailed, comprehensive report several years ago to tell us how to go about solving these problems. And upon the very adoption of that report, this board and this staff began post haste to implement those recommendations. And the reason we're here tonight is because we did that. It simply is a time-consuming process. We're not surprised that we need that well. We knew when that Boyle report came out that we need that well. But we had to go through the process. That's what we're doing. One of the commenters mentioned that they thought this well was due in 2006. That's not correct. This well was known to be needed upon completion of the Boyle report several years ago. This is how long it takes. We're going as fast as we can. There still are some comments from some folks that seem to think we should go with a full EIR. Of course, that's a policy decision by the board. But given the level of investigation that's been done, I think the board should consider whether it would be a waste of public funds to reinvent this wheel. Mr. Pudwill may be accurate. It may be an A file. But I need to go out and check that. Say again? Oh, Mr. Pudwill, I think he may be accurate. It may be an eighth of a mile. I need to check that. Well, I think that I was going to comment on some of Mr. Fox's comments, but I believe that Ty Green pretty well handled most of those for you. One of the issues is the continuous, whether this well would be continuously used. And I want to make it clear that the well certainly can be used in a continuous mode if we suffer other facility failures. And in fact, this well may end up being continually used in the future, depending on how the implementation of that South County area plan fully unfolds. But that's out of our hands. We are here to deal with the water that the people need, and the people are being supplied to us by the county plan. A comment was made by Mr. Fox that we need to examine the cumulative impacts of this well and other wells in the future. And that's exactly why the county had to do their environmental impact report, to fully flesh out the cumulative impacts of wells to serve this community. The issuance of an intent to serve or will serve letter is from this district is based upon our physical ability to supply the resource from the standpoint of whether we actually have a well in place, whether we have a tank in place, but not whether the resource is available from the groundwater basin. And that's the full intent of a will serve letter. And the reason we reserve service is to make sure that we get those facilities, like the tanks, the pumps, the boost stations, the water mains in the street. That's our business, to get that infrastructure in place. But to deal with the resource issue, that's the business of the county through their South County Area Plan and the Environmental Impact Report associated with it. The timetable for an EIR would likely be about a year. Mr. Kyler was concerned about the areas served. He noted that some of the wells are outside the district, but, you know, the South County Area Plan report examined the whole Mesa, including Cal Cities, including Callander, including Cypress Ridge. It looked at the whole Mesa, including the district. So all of the areas were considered as part of that impact report. I think Mrs. Ostroff's comments were really important. She's a good example that these mitigation measures are being implemented. I didn't get out of her comments with regard to DWR that DWR would conclude that the Mesa would be in balance, but that's been my impression from the word I hear on the street. Mr. Wehner's comments related to his inability to split because he didn't have water, but we have to presume that he got water, otherwise he wouldn't have been able to split. I don't know any of the details on the Via Concha well contract. I'm not privy to verbal indications or anything else on the Via Concha well contract. The Summit Station Assessment District, when it was brought into the district, was under and still is under special restrictions on growth imposed by the county. You remember how the various people that were attending our hearings bitterly complained that the county would not let them split. As far as I know, those constraints still exist. It's a good example of the South County Area Plan in action. I think we'll discuss Mrs. Holder's water issue later. And to Mr. Neitz, as I said, the new well is not a surprise. It just takes a long time to bring it online based upon the public process we have to go through. And I'll entertain any questions. There was a question in the back about state water, and to my knowledge, the management of the state water project turnout is controlled by the Central Coast Water Authority through the Board of Supervisors.
I think that what I kept hearing was that we botched the possibility of acquiring state water, and I have to remind the public that it was voted down twice, and perhaps our efforts weren't as vigorous as it might have been, but that was a result of a vote. Okay, I can't take comments from the audience, please. Are we going to answer? Public hearing is closed. This is just a response to the questions that were posed earlier. You can't, sir. The public portion has been closed. You might recall I mentioned that earlier. Out of order. Okay?
No, you're out of order. You've been out of order for
2 years. You're out of order.
That's okay.
Well,
you can't hold your 3 minute time. We're not cooking eggs here, Mr. Mendoza.
This is what we have to deal with, folks, huh? This is what we have to deal with in trying to make this thing happen here.
Okay. That's going to interject here and make a comment. Okay. Yeah. We're at the portion of the meeting now where we've taken public testimony, that the district engineer is responding. It's now the time for the board to review the decision. They could ask staff or Mr. Gehring or myself or Mr. Jones questions. I might have a couple comments myself before the board takes action.
Any comments from the board? From staff?
I'd like to make a couple comments in regards to this. And the issue that's before us is environmental issues. And I know that Mr. Gehring has addressed a lot of issues that were raised by the audience during the public testimony part, and they weren't necessarily environmental issues. I think he was doing it as a courtesy to inform the public about certain issues that were raised. I, too, would like to do that. These are not what I would consider environmental issues, but for informational purposes. First of all, on the issue of annexation, when a district annexes property or annexations are proposed, either by the district or by people that are on its outlying boundaries, it goes through a LAFCO process, and again, an environmental determination is made. As to increasing water use as regards to annexation, I would inform the audience that the district has adopted a water conservation policy with annexations to the effect, now this came in after Summit Station, so I'm dealing with the Summit Station issue, but the current district annexation policy requires that if an annexation is not self-sufficient with its own water use, the annexing property has to mitigate the water use from the district at a rate of 2 to 1. In other words, if one house was to come in, it would have to go out into the community and retrofit sufficient houses, not only to take care of that house's intended use, but another use. So that the rate of retrofit is 2 to 1. It's a very steep policy that the district has. When the board will recall, this is a new law annexation that's going on right now where that is occurring. As to Mr. Fox's comments, again, what Mr. Green had to say is correct. And to the extent that the audience is talking about water rights, it is clear in the law that impacting legal rights is not an environmental impact. Now, back in 1987, and this is before I became involved in the district, and I think Mr. Jones was involved, the district took a position regarding the groundwater basin. Now, I say this as an informative matter and not as a legal or environmental issue. But what that does is, in the event, at some future time, an adjudication occurs and there is it is determined that under legal principles, the groundwater basin is an overdraft, the district has certain legal arguments. Rights to the groundwater basin are determined by the judge. We can all speculate, but speculation, again, is not part of an environmental process. To the comments that were addressed by the DWR report, for all of us that have been involved with water issues on the South County, we're all keenly aware of the DWR report. We've gone through the 2-year cycles for 2 years, the 1-year cycle for 2 years, the 6-month cycle for what, the last 18 months? It's difficult to know. And now we're down to where we're getting rumors on the street about what the DWR report says. As a practical matter, nobody in this room, including myself, or those people that are involved with what's going on with the DWR report, and by the way, I exclude myself from that circle, we don't know when the DWR report is coming out. However, it is clear we have to consider and review the DWR report. And if that review and that process will be at a public meeting, it will be received at a public meeting, it will be discussed at a public meeting. I don't know what that DWR report is going to say regarding the groundwater basin, whether it's an overdraft, equilibrium, or a surplus. Quite frankly, I don't know. I don't want to speculate on that, and that, again, would be speculation. To the comment about what is the legal argument or the legal requirement of this board, I do not claim to be a water lawyer. However, what's before the board is there a fair argument that supports substantial evidence that this could cause a significant impact on the basin? That is the test that's before the board, and it's reiterated in the resolution that's before it. It's not simply the fair argument. I would also comment to the audience out there and to the board that they have an obligation to consider all the other environmental impact reports that have addressed this issue. As Mr. Gehring has pointed out, there have been many. In fact, those environmental impact reports address this very issue that we are talking about tonight. This very singular issue. And that is the water production and growth and population on the Mesa. It's called the South Area Plan Inland Update. Everybody that lives in the South County got notice of that. There was meetings that were conducted here. There were meetings conducted all over the South County. There were meetings conducted in the Board of Supervisors. They took ample loads, tons, I don't know how you want to characterize it, I leave it to you, evidence regarding what was important and what was growth inducement, what the water production was, what could this Mesa groundwater basin support? They did review the McFarland report that Mr. Gehring has talked about, and they reviewed a lot of reports. They came to a conclusion that by implementing these mitigation measures, the basin would stay in equilibrium, whatever that equilibrium is. That is a political process, an engineering process that was conducted entirely within the CEQA process. Everybody in this room, I suspect that you lived in the Mesa or other places, had an opportunity to at least address those issues. You may not agree with the findings that, again, I leave it to your own conscience, but that report was conducted. This district this district has an obligation to review it and every right to depend on it as a true and accurate study. In fact, as Mr. Gehring has pointed out, subsequent studies have more or less, I said, nothing contrary, has not verified that that is exactly what's going on. The golf course. Again, there was some issue about the district, and this goes to the whole thing about expanding its sphere of influence. When you talk about a sphere of influence, you're talking about a technical term that has to do with county and LAFCO planning. A sphere of influence is not the district boundaries, but is in a boundary that that is drawn typically around or outside the district boundary, which sets up a planning area for what is going to happen to that area. It's not within the district, it's within the county.
Excuse me,
yeah.
Sir, I must make exceptions. This year was the same board of supervisors meeting where the county did not want you to expand, but conceded that acceded to it as a settlement of a lawsuit you brought to your wishes. That
okay. Okay, that's I'm just, ma'am, if you let me finish, I mean, you can take exception with everything that I have to say. That is your right. I am trying to address the comments that were raised, and these are not environmental comments, but I noticed the confusion out there. It is a planning area. In order for the district to expand out into that planning area, it has to be approved by LAFCO. LAFCO, about 2 years ago, on sphere of influence changes, required an environmental impact report. So even if you do a sphere of influence change, not much less a boundary change, you have to do an environmental impact report. Within those environmental impact reports, under LAFCO procedure, water issues are addressed. It is by LAFCO rule that they are addressed. So to think that, for anybody to think, that this district could expand its boundaries without a consideration of water resources and its ability to meet those resources, I, for one, would basically disagree with you. I think it's part of the governmental process that has to occur. I can't speak anecdotally as to the history of what went on 15, 20 years ago, or how what went on. I'm addressing how LAFCO is configured today. So I'm not I can't speak from an anecdotal point of view of the history of the past. With that, I would just also comment to the board that there has been a lot of testimony here, and there's been a lot of testimonies that have to deal with, like, what ifs, those types of issues. Those are speculation. They're speculative in nature and do not fall within the government, within the public resource code as being substantial evidence. I mean, people can sit down and say, what if, what if, what if. But the point is we're not evaluating what is. We can't sit down and evaluate speculation. And with that, I'll answer any questions from the board.
So, are there any questions from the board? Mr. Seitz?
I have a question.
Yes?
Yes, for our legal department. The district has been advised by Attorney Fox that the consequence of establishing a new well will be costly. The attorneys will be the winners as court cases develop. He recommends that the district give the project a rest legally. What is the district's rebuttal?
Well, I would, Mr. Fox and I would probably agree on a couple of issues. One, any time that there's litigation regarding any type of thing, the lawyers usually come out okay. No, that's not reality. I'm not here to debate that issue. I also would tell the board that this board cannot control whether or not litigation occurs. In our society, everybody has access to the courts, and that's the way it ought to be. So there is no action that I could tell the board that they could take that ultimately somewhere down the line isn't going to result in litigation because the courts are open to everybody. I would agree with Mr. Gehring's analysis of my experiences with EIRs that they're anywhere from 8 to 12 to 13 to 14 months to do it. I would tell the board, and I don't really know the answer to this, but I believe the South County Plan update took 3 to 4 years to, along with the environmental issues, to from start to begin to come. I became a counselor of this board, I think, about right in the middle of that process and as it was going forward. So it is a very lengthy process. And it also gives the board a good indication as to the validity of the environmental considerations and determinations and mitigation circumstances that the county considered when going through that environmental determination. So I would say this in response to your situation, your question. Yes, I would agree with you that if there is litigation, the lawyers are going to do okay. Whether or not there is going to be litigation but, on this board's decision is, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Thank you. We have a resolution before us. What's the number on that, Don?
633.
633? Mr. Seitz, do you want to read that resolution in title only?
Yes, this is a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Pomo Community Service District adopting an environmental negative declaration authorizing a general manager to file a notice of determination for the Sundale water well. A couple of the key recitals that are in the resolution I'll repeat for the record. It states for the record that Gehring and Taylor and Associates have prepared an initial study for the project, which proposes a negative declaration be approved. The analysis and findings of these studies are incorporated into the resolution. It states that there was a public hearing, that notices were given. There's one little correction I would make, because when this resolution was drafted, the staff report was not in my hands. And I've given, I think, a copy of that to the president. And that's the final whereas, which makes certain findings. And it states, whereas in the Pomo Community Service District, based on information contained in the initial study prepared for the project, the testimony received as a result of the public notice, and then I inserted, and the staff report. The staff report wasn't in the initial resolution that was prepared because it wasn't available at the time. Goes on to state that there was no substantial evidence that the project may have a significant effect on the environment that was not otherwise considered by the environmental impact reports referenced in the initial study. If the board is prepared to make that finding on the testimony, the record, the initial study that's prepared, then they should adopt this resolution.
Okay.
By roll call vote.
Entertain a motion to authorize, adopt the negative declaration on the Sundale water well.
I make a resolution that we...
A motion.
That we accept the engineer's report and go forward with accepting the negative declaration. 98633.
I second the motion.
Yes. Motion by Mr. Blair, seconded by Mr. Simon. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Blair?
Yes.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Director Cage?
Yes.
Director Fairbanks?
Yes.
Director Mendoza?
Yes. Motion passed. We're going to take a 5-minute break.